You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can only You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't and it had to get done, you got it done, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we got mad love for you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9-11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, anytime around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on podcast programs. The drop down, the first one you'll see is African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Kwaku. Also, you can go to the shortcut, whatever search engine you use, Internet Explorer, Firefox, whatever, Time for an Awakening, put in the search, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times, I'm going to give our Eastern times. Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Thursdays from 7 to 8. Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday at 7, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba. I hope to be talking with him soon for his upcoming trip. And his next trip is July 11th to the 23rd to Ghana. Then November 21st to December 2nd, Azania. No, I apologize, Kemet. Kemet, November 21st to December 2nd, 2024, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania. That's right. Okay. And then April 4th through April 14th, 2025, Kenya. He's already added some new ones in here. Kenya, April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. And then May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. So there you have it, dear brothers. It is a new lineup, and we'll be talking with Brother Bomani Tayemba on about those changes and how you can become, how you can, too, take a trip of a lifetime, family, a trip of a lifetime. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. You can see for yourself. You can be part of a trip of a lifetime. Habeshaw. Habeshaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the Habeshaw Works program and the programs that they have and where the brothers and sisters here in the Atlanta area and on the continent with the Kashi Project. Habeshaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs, all part of the programs that are happening with Habeshaw Incorporated.org. Habeshaw Incorporated.org. The LEDGE program, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Of course, the LEDGE group, they deal in the four areas of human necessity, of human essential, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on six different countries on the continent and over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. TheLEDGEGroup.com. The Wellness Minister, the Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. I'm not sure when he's coming back from Kenya, but he's doing great work evangelizing in Kenya. And of course, he has an ebook that you can sign up for. You can sign up for his ebook. Go to theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. And of course, he has his products that he's selling. And of course, and just like Brother Minister of Wellness, we have Brother Jabril with Smile Pharmacy. So there's two choices. There are many others, brothers and sisters, that you can choose from over the internet, and but just scrutinize them to make sure and make sure that the products are there and they're real and they're going to help you. So give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smile Pharmacy, SmileFarmacy.com. SmilePharmacy.com. And the Moses West Foundation family, the atmospheric water generator, it's phenomenal. We develop and implement the atmospheric water generator technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. Our mission, we are a nonprofit organization focused on alleviating the global water crisis by bringing clean water access and water health and hygiene education to programs to the world's most impoverished communities. By bringing safe water access, our programs are focused on schools, children, and rural communities across the United States and abroad. The sanitation and hygiene, join us. And together we can abolish global water poverty one community at a time. Exceeds EPA and WHO water quality. That's right. The generator helps improve communities gain access to clean, safe drinking water and hygiene education. Reduce the carbon footprint by generating large volumes of water from the water where it is needed. And we cut transport emissions, advancing our mission for a greener planet. See, instead of transporting the water from here to there, say, for instance, there's a community that needs water. They'll build a machine. That machine will extract the H2O molecule out of the air, go through a filterization process, open the tap, out comes clean drinking water. And if you had the opportunity to mass produce these all over, everywhere, we got water, family.
You got water, the elixir of life, what is most essential, water. Yeah. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. On Saturday and Sunday, they serve vegan dishes. They have all kinds of stuff at Wadada's. The smoothies, fruit drinks, pastries, dry goods, and all kinds of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. It's just a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, and so much more. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta, off of I-20. You take I-20 going east towards Augusta. Exit 74. When you exit 74, make a left on the main street into Lithonia. About a mile, and on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, where my good brother Gazimde Ajamu is the proprietor, and have conversation with my brother, and he's got a fine selection of books and all kind of good stuff. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride, head back in the opposite direction. You were going north, now you're going south, and jump back on I-20 East. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights. Make another right, and on the left would be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Yep. That's in Stonecrest. You know, a new city. They made some new cities since I've been here. Yeah. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. Also, too, you can call in at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop with Brother Abija. He's not open on Mondays, but he's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. He's in Macon, Georgia, and he has in his establishment everything. He even have a vegan restaurant. He's got it all. He's got health products, furniture, clothing, you name it, man. CDs, DVDs, jewelry, man. That's right, Brother Abija. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelley Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. And, of course, Sanjay-Haiti with Sister Gabby is doing great work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, which, of course, needs a lot of help. A lot of help. Man. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road. And Sister Gabby, I apologize. I was talking about Sister Gabby. Go online to Sanjay, Sonjay-Ayiti, Sanjay-Ayiti.org. All right. Got off track again. That happens, don't it? Sometime. Akhmet Institute, Baba Barudi and Mama Ya. Of course, they have been running a school, Akhmet Institute, for over 20 years. And believe me, they're just phenomenal. And they need support and they need help. If you want to use PayPal, go to PayPal and put in Yaa Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at yahoo.com. If you want to use Cash App, $ Yaa, Yaa, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make your donations and support to the great work that they're doing. Okay? Please do. Yeah. Because I tell you, I make these announcements because I want you to support these things that are happening in our community of organizations and businesses that are doing things in a positive way. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Papa Baruti has two volumes of Inyasasim, Daily Revolutionary Thought. This is from volume two. Okay. April 21st. Your belief in the system makes it real. Your belief in the system makes it real. Phil Valentine. We act like this is the way things have to be. But there is nothing in divinity which is in agreement with that patently flawed, self-defeating, menticidal assumption. Submission to that which is alien is the Negro's way, not the warrior's way. This is how those who believe that they have been defeated and seek a slave's comfort think and act, not those of us who know we are. Knows who we are and why we are here. Warriors are not defeated, or they would not be warriors. They know better. They know better than to act as if the prevailing way is more impersonal, depoliticized reality. They know that the system is not the government. It is far beyond that. The system is the culture which created the government, and the culture is the fundamental reality created by the group of people whose customs designed it to fit their collective personalities. Africans who know that we are at war for the survival and sanity of African people know that this culture is Urugu's child. This is not us, family. They know that it is Urugu. Such warriors do not relinquish authority over their minds or destiny to the confusion and spiritually deficient and wayward children who have historically demonstrated an insatiable envy of us and the Creator. It is a resentment which has found expression through centuries of a tyrannical, psychopathic destruction which denies our existence. They know what is horribly wrong and have the courage and the resilience to work to change things into ma'at, that which must be if we are to remain sane African. Ma'at. Truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, balance. Vanquishment into oblivion, where we can forget the evil we breathe through defensively becoming one with it, is not an option. There is no alternative to righteousness. There is no other way to humanity, family. There is no other way. Affirm, I only believe in a system created by our ancestors. Ashe. Affirm, I only believe in the system created by our ancestors. April 22nd. There's no way to think clear when your body is sick. Whatever you feed your body, you feed your brain. A sick body cannot define freedom. Dr. Layla Africa, great ancestor. It is interesting and even at times comical how vanquished people, defeated, broken individuals who feel that their defeat and brokenness is deserved, come up with and thoroughly research and practice and add anyway in everything. Religious, they come up with that practice of religious crystals, astral projections, drugs, alcohol, food, forgiveness, to sexual confusion, interracialism, humanism, intellectualizing, music and dance, sports, video games, sex, holistic health, yoga, etc. To avoid seeing their destruction, accept a practical means to permanently remove our enemies. See, they see all of that. But to avoid seeing their destruction, accept a practical means to permanently removing our enemies. That's what we should be about. Affirm, I am well. Affirm, I am well. Yeah. Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Today is Earth Day. Earth Day was started in 1970. I don't know why I remember that. I can remember reading and Gaylord Nelson, who was a U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. He was one of the first people introducing Earth Day. Okay. In 1969, at a UNESCO conference in San Francisco, peace activist John McConnell proposed a day to honor the Earth and the concept of peace, to first be observed on March 21st, 1970, the first day of spring.
That's good.
And of course, that's too where the calendar is supposed to start. But then again, you got to understand something, too, family. You know, the Earth is round, and the Earth does tilt on its axis, you know, and it goes back and forth and run. So, you know, so when there's spring, there's the equinox, the spring and fall equinox, equal time, equal daylight and nighttime, you know. Because once June hits, that'll be equal time, and then the time will start going back, and the Earth Northern Hemisphere, because when there's summer in the Northern Hemisphere, there's winter in the Southern Hemisphere, and vice versa. That's why you see the Australian Open played in the winter time here, because it's the summertime, so-called down under, you know. And so a lot of times you only deal with what you're familiar with, and so you recognize springtime in the Northern Hemisphere. This day of nature's was later sanctioned in a proclamation written by O'Connor and signed by the Secretary General at the United Nations. A month later, United States Senator Gaylord Nelson of Wisconsin proposed the idea to hold a nationwide environmental teach-in on April 22nd, 1970. That's why it's today, April 22nd, Earth Day. He hired a young activist, Dennis Hayes, to be the national coordinator. Nelson and Hayes renamed the event Earth Day. Dennis and his staff grew the event beyond the original idea and for a teach-in to include the entire United States. More than 20 million people poured out on the streets. And the first Earth Day remains the largest single day protest in human history. And that's interesting, in 1970. And all that time from 1970. Going on 55 years, It'll be 55, and I'm quite sure they're going to have something planned to look at all the things that have happened in 55 years. Because there were a lot of things that were happening that was a threat to the planet, particularly various species threatening extinction because of what humans have done. Erosion of land and so forth. Yeah. It's not a joke. More than 20 million people. The key non-environmentally focused patterns played major roles under the leadership of union leader Walter Reutner. For example, United Auto Workers was the most instrumental outside financial and operational supporter of the First Earth Day. Yeah, but the United Auto Workers. Yeah, but that whole model of automobile has to change. According to Hayes, without the UAW, the First Earth Day would have likely flopped. Nelson was later awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in recognition of his work. The senator, the First Earth Day was focused on the United States in 1990. Dennis Hayes, the original national coordinator in 1970, took it international and organized events in 141 countries, because that's what Earth Day needs to be. It's a global thing. It's global. On Earth Day 2016, the landmark Paris Agreement was signed by the United States. Yeah. And then Trump tried to rescind it. The United Kingdom, China, and 20 other countries. This signing satisfied a key requirement for the entry into the force of the historic draft climate protection treaty adopted by consensus of the 195 nations present at the 2015 United Nations Climate Change Conference in Paris. Numerous communities engaged in Earth Day Week actions, an entire week of activities focused on the environmental issues that the world faces. On Earth Day 2020, over 100 million people around the world observed the 50th anniversary in what was being referred to as the largest online mass mobilization in history. A similar but separate event, World Environment Day, is organized by the United Nations and observed annually on June 5th. Earth Day. Very necessary. Very necessary, because why? This planet is in trouble. We see that. We see that with the kinds of things that are happening. And see, I don't know if you listen to this program, you know that I've mentioned this. I've done programs on the environment. You know, I guess when I sat at that firehouse table reading the newspaper and reading that article about climate change, you know, and the impact that it was going to have. I think that was the 80s, mid to late 80s, you know. And it said, if they don't change, if the governments and business, if they don't change what they're doing, it is going to lead to some catastrophic climate catastrophes. That, you know, first it was called, if you remember, global warming. They talked about global warming because the planet was heating up. And, of course, the last few years, this past, they had record heat. So, yes, the planet is warming, but you also had extreme cold days, snow, and so, because what p- climate change really means is weather extremes, weather patterns that are unusual. Sometimes now that when you used to have these things happening at this particular time, now it happens at a different time. Because why? The planet is tilted off because of climate change. Where it used to happen in certain times and so forth, it doesn't happen. And where it was mild, it's extreme. Extreme cold, extreme hot, longer times. It is real. Climate change is real. And so, I don't know. I have a little piece. Maybe I'll play it with Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know. And he's talking to that, you know, the one brother he talks to. And I tell you, he's cool. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, he is what he is. I like Neil deGrasse Tyson, though. So he has a piece here in explaining climate change.
Chuck.
Yes.
We got Earth Day in the house.
Woo!
Okay. You are a green guy. You are greener. Every time I learn more about you, you are more green than I previously knew you to be.
As a matter of fact, yes.
That's a beautiful thing. That's beautiful. But what concerns me, okay, it's like, do you remember back a few years ago, there was the Science March on Washington?
I was there.
Okay. I what deeply concerns me is that we needed a science march. That should not be necessary, yep, all right? So the fact that we have a day committed to Earth, that should not be necessary.
You're right. Every day.
Sad.
Every day should be Earth Day.
It's just everyone, every day should be appreciating Earth, and that is not how that's been going. But the fact that we have to be reminded of these things, I guess that's how you got to do it, right?
Yeah.
Right, once a year. And so Earth Day, people keep talking about save Earth.
Right.
Earth don't care. Earth,
right.
Earth is here with you and without you.
Earth is like Honey Badger. Earth don't care. Okay. You're going to run away greenhouse gas? Guess what? Earth don't care. Earth's going to be here.
You'll be extinct. You'll be extinct.
You won't be here, but Earth will be here. Earth don't care. Okay. Earth,
the planet is here to stay.
Oceans are made of acid now. Guess what? Earth don't care.
So all this stuff to save Earth, what people really mean is save life on Earth or save us on Earth.
Right.
So it's more parochial than save planet Earth. The planet Earth was here when the asteroid took out the dinosaurs.
That's
a rock the size of Mount Everest. Earth was here before, during, and after that. All right.
So let me ask you this, since you brought up the dinosaurs, which I find kind of intriguing.
By the way, if they had a space program, probably they would have deflected the asteroid and they'd still be here.
Yeah, and we'd be snacks.
Snacks. Tasty tidbits.
Right, exactly.
Mm. Scurrying underfoot. And by the way, did you know the evidence for why they'd still be here?
It's no.
Very excellent evidence. Okay, you want to hear it?
Okay. Yes.
So, the dinosaurs were around for like 200 million years. I forgot the exact number, but it's around there. Million years. Before the asteroid took him out.
There you go.
And how many years has it been since the asteroid? 65, 66 million years. So they were around for longer than the time that's around since they went extinct.
That is exactly what I was about to ask you, but go ahead.
Okay, so now here's what's even better. You ready?
Go ahead.
Do you remember the who's the one with the plates on the back spine?
Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus. Do you realize the time between the last appearance of Stegosaurus and the rise of T-Rex is longer than the time since T-Rex went extinct?
Wow.
So in other words, we are closer in time to T-Rex than T-Rex was to Stegosaurus.
Wow. Look at
that. This is what I'm saying. So they just were unlucky. Now, So Earth Day, we're trying to protect Earth from our own forces, but really, we should be protecting Earth from rogue asteroids as well. Fold that into all of the ways we want to protect life on Earth.
Yeah, and asteroids are up there going, we did it before, we could do it again.
We'll take your ass out again.
That's right. They're all talking to each other like, okay, so Apophis, give us a report. Well, I missed him this time. I couldn't get to the keyhole. But guess what? Next time, I'm shooting.
Okay, I got to tell people what the keyhole is. So There's certain trajectories where they don't hit Earth, but if they go through this point in space, Earth's gravity can be just right, or rather, just wrong, so that the next time around, it ends up hitting Earth.
Right.
And call that a keyhole. If it comes a little closer, then Earth's gravity will swing it harder, swing it farther away a little too. If it misses it the other direction, it'll go too slow. So if it's just right through the keyhole, then it will hit Earth. So it's an interesting name for it, and I think it's well named. But a keyhole implies there's something you want on the other side.
That's true.
Definitely not the case here.
Yeah, we don't want to unlock our impending doom.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a problem if in the future we have, like, mining companies, let's say, that mine asteroids. I've said many times, surely the first trillionaire will be the person who exploits the natural resources on asteroids. If they can mine an asteroid, they can probably nudge it out of the way. So We get on the horn and say, hey, we found an asteroid just discovered in our deep space network. It looks like it's headed our way. Could you just hop over to that and deflect it or take half of it away?
And then he'll say, I can for $1 trillion.
I forgot that this is a Bond villain story here.
Hey, listen.
For $1 trillion.
Exactly.
So, protecting Earth, I think, can involve these other ways. I mean, why not? And so I look forward to the day where we're so good at this that we can retire Earth Day. I mean, why not?
That would be great. Right? Yeah, because it says that our ever-present mentality is one where we appreciate it always, which we should.
And we know never to take it for granted.
Right.
Right. And under those situations, we wouldn't have needed Earth Day in the first place.
So true. Yeah. Right. I don't know what it is about human beings that makes us take things that are so necessary for our survival for granted. It's curious to me, and I'm really puzzled by it. Like, I think about it a lot.
Chuck, it needs better marketing, maybe. I mean, because people say, I don't like science, and I don't like space, and I don't like this. Okay. And they'll say, you know, I'm fine with my, you know, weather.com and my...
Right.
And my DirecTV, but I hate space and I hate this. So what you do is you sneak in the dark of night and remove everything from their room that was inspired or invented by virtue of space technology.
Right.
And they'll wake up in a cave.
Yeah, they'll wake up naked.
In a cave.
Cold in a cave.
In a cave.
Right.
Basically that. And so maybe we need those reminders. Once a year, that'll happen to you and you have to reacquire all the technologies that you were taking for granted.
Yeah. See, you know what? You're absolutely right. Because even when you think about the burning of fossil fuel, it's greed that has driven that for many, many years.
Well, greed drives so much of everything, but that greed in particular had consequences, right?
Right.
I mean, greed is greed is greed. I mean,
God, you sound like Gordon Gekko right now. Greed is greed is good.
Greed is good.
Yes. But I'm saying this, if everyone were scientifically literate, even the greedy would always look for better ways to make money. So even if I were the guy who owned the oil company.
This is my point.
Scientifically literate would say, well, this is really an inefficient way for me to power stuff, and it's only a matter of time before it's obsolete. Let me look forward, and I'm going to invent this now. And,
because I'm greedy.
Because I'm greedy.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. Now, let me try to make all these other power sources affordable and cheap and easy, because then I will become rich for doing so because I'm greedy.
Right.
So you just have to shift the greed vector into the green direction.
Right.
And maybe that's not what not enough people are thinking to do that, because they think that any greedy capitalist is necessarily anti-green.
Right.
And it might start out that way, but ultimately they're all going to have to switch that around.
Yeah, that's right.
And they kind of did it. Is it called Mobil Oil Company anymore? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
All right. The oil was taken out of all of those names.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. Exxon is not Exxon Oil, or it was.
Actually, it's Exxon Mobil, right.
ExxonMobil.
And they see themselves as energy companies. So they're getting ready. They're priming the pumps for this future.
Yeah, yeah.
So, exactly. That's fine.
So listen here, you granola, Birkenstock, hippie-wearing suckers. Get on the game, and let's get some capitalism so we can end this global warming thing, because only greed is going to help us, okay?
You're
sitting around all earth and crunchy while we all die, okay? Put your tie-dye down, okay? Stop smoking your weed for a second, and let's get on this. Let's make some money on this, damn it. That's the only way we're going to win.
That's a whole other outlook right there. I should write an op-ed with that point of view.
Exactly.
Greed is good.
Greed is good. Let greed save the earth, doggone it. Greed and green, baby. Greed and green. Let's make it happen.
All right, Chuck. That's going to be our Earth Day. Our Earth Day deposit into the din of all, everyone's chants of how we need to save Earth going forward.
There you go.
All right. That Chuck, always good to have you.
Always a pleasure.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, you're a personal astrophysicist. Keep looking up.
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah. I think I should have chosen another one that was better than that one. What I wanted to do for our listeners, for you, is give you some numbers of what it was in 1970 to where it is now. Because really, in that 50-year period, because they did not heed the warning of scientists and greed, which is the bottom damn line, they consistently brought the planet to a situation where if they don't stop and reverse this, it can't be reversed, and the planet is doomed for real. You know, now me as a Pan-Africanist, I look at Africa. The continent is not as affected. It is affected. Of course it is. The world is affected by climate change and global warming. And of course, you know there are areas where there is severe drought. You know, and where things need to be done, where human beings need to come together and change the dynamic in that area. And it's all possible, especially as far as I'm concerned on the continent. Because the continent now, you don't need no oil. You know? You recognize the fact that you have the sun. You recognize the fact that you have the air. You recognize the fact that electricity can be generated in these cars. And I mean, all these possibilities are there. But also, too, if these things don't change, and we don't have decades, another 50 or a millennium, not a millennium, that's 1,000 years, but, you know, a century. This is the new millennium, but a century, 100 years. So, climate change, as far as Earth Day is concerned, unfortunately, you know, yeah, Earth Day. Earth Day needs you. Please send donations. Earth Day is unwavering in our commitment to end plastics. The focus in this year is that a fight every day to protect the planet. And the real issue is plastics at this time. Because plastics don't break down. And, of course, plastics are made from oil, too. See? Earth Day is unwavering in our commitment to end plastics for the sake of human and planetary health, demanding a 60% reduction in the production of all plastics by 2040. And, of course, 2040 is 16 years away. Our theme, Planet versus Plastics, calls for advocacy for widespread awareness on the health risks of plastics, rapidly phase out all single-use plastics, urgently pushing for a strong UN treaty on plastic pollution, and demand an end to fast fashion. Join us as we build a plastic-free planet for generations to come. Babies versus plastic. Governments and NGOs from around the world will gather in Ottawa, Canada, to continue negotiating the terms of the United Nations Global Plastic Treaty this Earth Day 2024. Plastics pose serious health risks to the life on planet Earth. Babies versus Plastic, the first of five such reports, offers an overview of some of the latest research studies in the impacts of microplastics on the health of young babies and children. Climate environmental literacy, coupled with strong civic education, will create jobs, build a greener consumer market, and allow citizens to engage with their governments in meaningful ways to address this climate crisis. Of course, there's all kinds of global cleanups and things to be inspired by. So, the power of collective action, which is needed by the human beings on the planet, the human beings on the end plastics, the a global cleanup, climate, oh man. So, that's what's happening on the planet, you know? Time for a break. Okay, we're going to play a little music for you, family. When we come back from the break, we'll take calls and you can talk about whatever it is that is on your mind. We know that soon May happens, and of course May is African Liberation Day. It's just like Earth Day. You know, when you title something, it becomes very important. And I'm going to be very upset because they took African Liberation Day and they did this on the continent. Pissed me off. And they took liberation out of it. And I know the Europeans did that, influencing some African countries who had some influence, and just called it Africa Day. Africa Day. That don't mean a damn thing. African Liberation Day. Given the history and understanding the dynamics, that's what it should be today. That's what it was. That's what it should be today. And that's what it should always be. African Liberation Day. The 25th of May. Not no damn Africa Day. You can name that any other day. African Liberation Day. Because Africa is not liberated. Africa is still being being manipulated by Europeans, by Indians, by Koreans, by Chinese. Africa needs to be liberated. Africa needs to be independent. Africa needs to be sovereign. So, given those realities, we need to celebrate Africa's independence, Africa's liberation, Africa's sovereignty. That's right. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. That was Get Greasy. Yeah. Okay, family. We'll turn the program over to those who are in non-listening audience. You got something to say? You want to talk about? Earth Day or whatever, climate change, whatever. Ah, my brother Irv, what's up, man? How you doing today?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm doing good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Baba Oshie, isn't it amazing how after Irugu has overconsumed gluttony, come on now, they've used the planet up for their own selfish reasons, then all of a sudden we're going to have an Earth Day where we're going to take care of the planet. Yeah. Because what you realize is that if you keep going the way you're going, nobody's going to exist. You could give a damn about American Africans. You care about yourself.
You're teaching that.
But see, and water can be weaponized. Food can be weaponized, as you see going on in Gaza. But, you know, all of a sudden, the colleges, the one girl supposed to speak, she can't speak because she's a Palestinian. And, you know, we got to – where were you at when the Tutsis and
Hutus.
What happened when they killed a million of them in 15 minutes? I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
Where were you at? Where are you at with the Sudan? Where are you at with the Congo? Where are you at? Why aren't the colleges saying anything about those types of genocidal things that are happening? Why aren't you saying anything about Paris still having colonies in Africa? Mm-hmm. About the 1,000% loans that the International Monetary Fund gives African nations and makes one person rich and the rest of the people are starving. Why aren't you talking about the open market where you gotta import peanuts, but you grow peanuts in Africa.
Yeah.
You're importing chocolate from Switzerland, but you grow coca.
Yeah.
You're still, we're gonna give you aid. Don't give me aid. Matter of fact, don't give me anything.
Just get out of here. Yeah.
We got this. When you put a child in another person's clothing, they think they become that person.
Mm.
They think they become those people. And when you put this American language and this European clothing on Africans, they first thing they want to do, I got to get to the U.S. And then they come here with their expertise and their intelligence, and they have no, they don't even think about going back to Africa to lift their people up to where they believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not helping your people, you're useless as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
Baba Ocean. But my thing is, this Earth Day is a fraud. Mm-hmm. You know it's a fraud. We're gonna clean up the plastics. It ain't the plastics, brother. It's the fish nets out in the sea that's grabbing all the eco. They're grabbing everything. They fish against with a whole net, grab it all, take what we want, and the rest of it throw it back, kill it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's a lot of things that are happening other than what they're showing you, because they want to control your mind. They want to control what you think about.
Mm-hmm.
And on my mind, in the front of my mind, is Africa. Because, Baba Oshi, Africa was here before Judaism. Africa was here before Christianity. Africa was here before Islam. Africa was here before all those things happened. So the spirituality of Africa birthed all those things. And then some white man or some European came along and said, oh, we're going to put these things in the Bible. We're going to leave out the other 88 books because these don't make me look bad. And we're going to tell you that this was written by a deity, by sacred. So now you can't say it was me. I didn't write it.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of the sky. See, my point is, Baba Oshie, the mind is, and we keep coming back to the same exact thing.
That's right.
If you control the mind, you don't have to put up a cage. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put a lock on it. If it ain't a door, like Dr. Clark said, we will bust the wall down and make a door for Irugu.
Yeah.
So my point is, Earth Day to me is a fraud. It's bullshit because if they were really real about Earth Day, BlackRock and all these people that control your pension funds and all this huge money would immediately go and fix this because you fix whatever you want. But see, they don't want you to do that, Baba Osho. And I say they, I mean Irugu. I mean the white people who are perpetuating this white supremacist ideology and lifestyle because it's money. It's about having money. And see, we're chasing money where white people are chasing power. Because power trumps money.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing, that we believe that money is power. We believe that voting is power. We believe that education information is power. Now, ain't none of that shit power. What is power? The ability to define reality. That's what power is. And so with our correct minds and the minds that we should have as a African people, we say this is what this is, and we make it. And we bring it into fruition. That's what power is. The ability to define the reality. So now your paper money don't mean a damn thing. We got a different currency. Okay? Your educational system don't mean a damn thing. We have a different educational system. Okay? The reason to vote or even not to vote, to have a system whereby it ain't no two-party system, three-party system. No, what it is a council, a collective of men and women who make decisions for the continent. That's what needs to take place and have them regional, just to think outside.
You're absolutely right, Baba Osho, and that's why the white people who perpetuate this racism, white supremacy, always give you a fake council. Oh, we got the United Nations, but everybody doesn't have a veto in the United Nations. They can't veto anything. So is that really United Nations, or is that just the powers still running things?
Right.
Because you're absolutely right. It's all a facade. It looks like the World Bank, the World Health Association, the world. What define what the world is? Mm-hmm. Because it looks good when you see it on TV, all the names of the countries in front of
it. Oh, yeah, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Health Organization, all of these things. All these entities are still designed to maintain and sustain the privilege that the European has established, or Uruguay has established for themselves. And they try to do it within that framework. That's why, to me, I reject all of that.
That's right.
Reject it all.
That's right. And the more you read, the more you know. But the biggest thing about reading is the more you read, the more you understand that you didn't know. Because you didn't know. A lot of people don't know that France colonized Vietnam. Did you know that? A lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah.
They didn't look it up.
Yeah,
I just thought we went over there and were just fighting. No, we went over there and lost our booties over there.
Yeah.
If you want to tell the truth, you lost those people. And then you did what you always do.
Mm-hmm.
You put out the carrot. Next thing you know, I got clothes made in Vietnam. You don't hate nobody because your enemies change. You don't have no enemies. You have issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no, Baba Osho, it's interesting how they want us to believe that we're all one and we're all going to save the planet. Now, you're trying to save yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real deal. And like I said, all these organizations, that the Good Ship Hope, and you know what they do. They get in, they spy, they bring back information, they destabilize the government, they weaponize the food, they weaponize the water, and then they put in their ideology. Next thing you know, they waving your flag, and you're selling them their own goods back to them after you take their raw materials out of their country.
Yeah.
So the world can't survive without Africa, and everybody knows it.
Right.
And everybody, like you say, everybody wants it, and nobody wants to pay for it.
Yep.
Right. I was acting right there. I said that, and nobody wants to pay for it. But anyway, and Bravo Osho, I come with some levity when I talk about this, because I'm going to tell you, It makes me cry. I'm serious.
No, you're right. It is sad.
It does. It makes you cry when you understand that a people have been that appear to be down. But see, because Africa's not down. If Africa was so bad, why y'all keep going over there? If you don't like us so much, why don't you put all us on a ship and ship us up out of here? You know, but you're not going to do that.
You know,
because we need us.
And you know, these museums around the world, these European museums, have more stuff, more artifacts from Africa than anywhere else. They have more, particularly from ancient Kemet. Artifacts, statues, more this, more that.
I sent you a comedian. I'm sorry to cut you off, Bob Osha. I sent you a short clip of a comedian, a couple of comedians, African comedians, and she was saying, "Yeah, I want to come and polish up all our artifacts that you have over here." And she was she's making a joke out of it, but she was so true what she was saying. You people bust us in the head and then tell us to clean up the blood and tell us to come back tomorrow and get bust in the head again. And then you take out, and now you got black women running around here thinking they're part of the system. Because remember, most of the black men have been locked up in this country or beat up or abused or brutalized by the police. The white women, the black women were going to school. We have the most educated bunch of black women in the world in this country. But they've always been educated. The formal education that you get from the school, you can monetize that. But the education that the black woman is born with is priceless.
Yeah.
My mother knew things without going to school, and she obtained a degree eventually. Mm-hmm. But the things she just knew from what her mother taught her were priceless. You didn't teach it. I mean, I got deprogrammed every time I came home and learned about who I am, where I'm from, why we say things that we say, you know, all these little stupid things that white folks want you. I'm so hungry, I can eat a horse. Where the hell does that come from? Does anybody – come on, I don't eat horses. But do you question it? Yes. Tell your children to question it.
Everything.
Where does it come from? Everything. Question it. Where does it come from? You know, man, I'm tired. You know, and they say little other little things like that, and you don't know where they come from, so you accept them, and the next thing you know, you saying them. And now you're behaving like a Rugu. Man, I'm going to get me some women. And for what? Go get a family. A woman and a family are two different things. Yeah. A family will sustain you.
Yeah.
A woman will give you pleasure for a few minutes.
Well, that's why that's why we're pushing for family, as opposed to the things that this society perpetuates, you know.
Right.
So that's what we're pushing for: a man, a woman, an African man, an African woman with African children. That is our model. That's what we need to put emphasis on, you know. To me, there's nothing stronger. That's why they've attacked our family unions. That's why they destabilized us. That's why they put all this other stuff in that, you know, because they recognize that the strongest unit is the family. And what if we truly had our families interlocking, working with one another in communities, in various parts of this country, in various parts of this world? Family being the model, being the difference, you know, running business and so forth. We would have so much.
Please, all of your great leaders came out of a family model.
Mm-hmm.
None of your, I mean, Martin Luther King came out of a mama and a daddy in the household. Regardless of how he fell into his religious convictions, he still, at the end of the day, Irugu was so arrogant and ignorant, you turned a man like that into, because he was always a revolutionary, but you turned him into a real revolutionary because you could not, you don't want to give us half or nothing. Irugu wants it all. He wants your children, your money, your house. He wants everything. He's not going to settle for a compromise. There is no compromise when you're dealing with someone who has an eroded moral fiber. Mm-hmm. Okay, he has no righteousness in him. You can't, ain't no right in you, so you can't do right. I'm going to do right by you. No, you're not. You're going to do what you've always done. Take care of yours and yours, and that's what. And we run around here taking care of yours too. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand it's nothing wrong with getting together. Or what y'all doing? Y'all over there talking. What y'all black people talking about? Mm-hmm. Shut up. We're talking about you. We're talking about you. Mm-hmm. We're talking about how we're going to take this over, how we're taking it over now. Why do you – don't ask white – I'm going to stop on this, Baba Oshie. Don't ask white people why you don't like me. Ask yourself, why do white people fear me? If I have nothing, why are you – you're fearing the pigment in my skin? Are you fearing the height because I'm so big? What are you – why are you so afraid of me? And I'm going to tell you why. Because you know that one day – I may do to you what you've done to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's their fear. You're right. And the interesting thing about that is that we're not that kind of people. We're not vengeful.
You know, no.
You know, our thing is just leave us alone. When we came out of captivity, it was like, hey, just leave us alone, man.
Yeah.
You know, let us go ahead and so we can, you know, live our lives and build things for ourselves. But what happened when we did that? All those places that we did something coming out of our captivity and having some little bit of skills of here and there and utilize them for our benefit, what happened? The Caucasian vamped on that community and destroyed it and killed the people and stole their goods. Rosewood, Boley, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Allentown in California, so many other places, to the point that right today, right now, at this moment, there is not one place in this country, in a community, in a neighborhood where we control everything. We control the jobs. We control the government. We control the educational system. There's not one place in this country where we have any kind of control over an area where we, as African people, American Africans, are predominant. Not one. And if it is, tell me about it. Rescue me if I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right, Bob Oshie. We don't own a hospital, a school, a bank.
Right.
And if we do, why can't we build on that?
Yeah.
Why can't we? Because Urugu doesn't want you to. See, Urugu tore down, burnt up Tulsa and Red Rosewood because Urugu understood when you plant a seed, a tree's going to grow. So he wouldn't let you plant that seed. He knew that 20 years down the road, if Tulsa, Oklahoma looked like it did now, like it did then, 20 years down the road, 100 years down the road, it would have been a superpower.
Right.
You would have had
them all over this country, anywhere where our people were. You wouldn't have to leave Philadelphia and to go to Tulsa. You wouldn't have to leave Chicago. We would create those things separately. In fact, it would be like a suburb of Chicago, a strong African community, maybe with a couple of anchor businesses and so forth, where the people, you know, work, and then building shopping areas where the people could spend their money, so forth. Just the same thing, same model. But it didn't happen. And the reason why it didn't happen, because they don't want that for us. Mm-hmm. They want us to shop with them. They don't want us to be independent. They don't want us to be self-determining. They don't want us to be sovereign. To hell what they want.
And they want us to like it. Mm. You go all over this country, you see little Armenia, little Koreatown, little Italy. But where's little Africa?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have little Koreatown because they all lived in the same area. No, half of them don't even live down there. They got little Koreatown because they have money.
Right, and they go to little Koreatown and spend their money. Exactly.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And see the thing, and white folks understand that black people would shop with black people. Mm-hmm. If we had somewhere to go.
Yeah.
If we had black businesses, I would step on white businesses to get to them. Mm-hmm. But they are none.
Yeah.
They're far few between.
Right.
In order to shop, buy all black, you have to spend so much extra money to get there, to get it. You know, and I'm not going to sit here and talk about how bad it is. Oh, this was terrible. This was bad. No, no, no. That's not the issue. The issue is that it doesn't exist. And anything that black people in this country is successful at, believe me, white folks are going to buy it from you, take it from you. All the corner stores are bought by the Koreans because they came with $2-3 million. Black people, you ain't never seen that kind of money in a corner store, but the Korean bought it because he understands that 20 years from now, I will not only own this store, I will own the politicians. I will own the government with this store because I have a bunch of them. We work collectively. Yeah. But no, we're taught to be individuals. I saw a lady on TV the other day with a Louis Vuitton jacket on. Why are you advertising for Louis Vuitton? Who the hell is Louis Vuitton? You wouldn't know Louis Vuitton if you saw him. But you have no allegiance to your people. It's called, right. The white folks call it the dumb dollar. That means that when once it goes in my black pocket,
that's right.
When I take it out,
it ain't gonna be in your. It ain't gonna circulate in your hood at all.
At all. And they can't wait. The Jews, the Koreans, they can't wait for your dumb ass. You want some lasagna? When the hell we start eating lasagna?
Mm-hmm.
But and wait a minute. This is a quick, real quick, and I'm gonna stop. You have an African American festival here in Baltimore. And they first of all, they call it the AFRAM, whatever that means. And then you have no African food. You're so detached from your culture, you have no African food at an African American festival. Wait a minute. What we eating crab cakes and hot dogs and hamburger apple pie and Chevrolet? What's going on is you're being detached from your culture. Because your culture is stronger than the culture that you're in. The African culture has survived. The people have been through it, but we're still here. And we're still speaking because our ancestors won't let us rest. Why do you think there's an African Perspective show? Mm-hmm. Because the ancestors is running this show. You're not running this. Right. They're running this. They're telling you, get on here every other day and say what I tell you to say.
Right.
And that's what you do.
Got to.
And sometimes I hear it, Bob Ocean. I used to listen to Baptist preachers, man. They get into a trance, man. That whole religion thing would take them somewhere, and I said, Lord, I'll pay. and they would be gone. And they really have taken themselves to another place.
Yeah, I hear you.
But the African ancestors, the spirituality in this frequency that we're on, with our ancestors, is one that Urugu can't share in that.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that. And, you know, we have scholars that can explain this much better than I can. But the reality is we're connected to them. They're reaching out. And let's be clear. Like I said before, all this was here before Urugu. Mm-hmm. All this, if you say the oldest person was in Africa, that whole white straight-haired Jesus thing, that's bull. You know it ain't right. It doesn't even make sense. He tells you, and the book says one thing, and you're believing something else. You're waving a gay flag, but the book they gave you said it is an abomination. Which one is it? And if I say something, something's wrong with me. I didn't read it right. Mm-hmm. You are living in a total lie.
Yeah.
Your whole life is a lie. Well, you're living in hypocrisy.
Well, that's who they are. That's who they are.
That's exactly who they are. Yeah. They're liars.
Yep.
Bob Ocean, get somebody
right.
else on, so I, you
right,
know I can
brother.
Keep going.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening.
All right, 334. Hey, Brother Ted Luss, how you doing, my brother?
Hey, good morning, Bob Ocean. I don't want to keep to interrupt this flow that's continuing, but I do need to take a moment to apologize to you, the African Perspectives Program, particularly Brother Ramses and Brother Braxton, who represent the Brothers of Kwanzaa, excuse me.
Yes.
It was mentioned before that one of the lies that we started off with was language. And I'm going to use that as a backdrop because of the fact that there was a statement that I made on Friday that I was just totally out in left field. But this is what happens when you read, right? This is what happens when you're trying to process information and you didn't try to galvanize the energies and efforts. I had made mention about two words, one being Jegna and the other being Jenga. And so in changing the two letters between G and N in the word, you get two different, totally different things.
Oh, okay.
One of them, which is the Jegna, which represents the process by which one is being a leader or source.
Right.
I'm trying to get around using mentor because of the fact that I've been conditioned to do so, right?
Right, right.
And so the Jenga, though, is actually, when I was reading, I'm like, did I say that? So I want to officially apologize to you, this program, and to those brothers, the brothers of Kwanzaa, by trying to see what happens when you change letterings in words,
mm-hmm.
how things get totally blown out of whack. And also incorporated in that with regards to Jenga, right? And so that's what, as a matter of fact, my eyes were looking at letters, but my brain was processing
yeah.
something so
right, that,
right?
That can happen, right?
With
that regards can happen.
To Jenga, G-I-N-G-A, mm-hmm. for the Afro-Brazilian basic martial arts move.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I wanted to make sure that I called back in. And I know these programs are stored, and I wanted to make sure that a correction, and I stand corrected on this day based upon what had been done on the previous program, the Fire Day Pass.
All right.
So
my
apologies.
That.
Please excuse my disruption in that. But we live and we learn.
That's right. An honest mistake, as they say.
We continue to live and learn.
Yeah, it was never any intent, and I'm quite sure on your part, to be deceitful or anything like that, because you're not that kind of a man. So, you know, we appreciate that, you know. But that's the thing, and that's a tough one for us, because we've been hearing this word mentor all the time.
That's right.
And mentor program and this and that, and you hear, and especially for us,
right.
Because we need to talk with somebody. We need somebody to help give us some guidance and so forth in various fields, you know, in education and jobs and so forth. So we need Jegnas. We need Jagnocks. We need them, you know. And hopefully the understanding will be that these brothers and sisters who present themselves as Jagnocks, you know, are sincere and committed to helping us elevate ourselves through various fields. Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, and that's why one of the questions I also was directing, can that program be adapted to the elders,
yes,
right?
Right.
Surely they have lived their lives. And I have, you know, you have all due respect because of their authenticity, all right? But somehow or another, they can't be that ingrained that they cannot be able to open up just a little bit,
right?
And absorb some of this that they may have missed out on. And so that's why, you know, I'm all in for the youth and trying to be of service as a tutor, a provider, some kind of assistance as best I possibly can. But for those of us who have gone into the elder realm, it's not that we're just stuck. We're not stuck. There are things that we can do to
sure.
be able to improve
sure.
upon ourselves.
Sure.
And so programs like the Brothers of Kwanzaa is presenting, I'm sure, is definitely worthwhile with regards to those of us who have gone that 50, 55, 60-year-old
mm-hmm.
Age range. So, yeah.
All right, dear brother. Thanks a lot, Brother Lusk.
Thank you so very much for receiving my call.
And
I look forward to listening and learning more, as always.
Always, dear brother. Appreciate that.
Peace.
All right. Brother Marcus, how you doing, my friend?
Greetings, Brother Oshi, and greetings to Brother Irv and the brother that just got off the line. You know, just want to piggyback a little bit on what Brother Irv was stating about the black man being out of the household, you know. That's by designer. Mm-hmm. You see, that's specifically by design, because the economic order in America is you have the white man on top, then you have the white woman, then you have the black woman, mm-hmm. and then the black man. Mm-hmm. See, that's by design, but no man really take care of another man anywhere, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, now in Memphis here, you know, I don't know if you saw, you know, when they were on EAP, they had a big shootout over in one of the oldest communities there, Orange Mound. And now the black people saying, oh, you know what, we need to call in the National Guard. Oh, we need to lock the parents up. But a lot of these parents, at these households, are single mothers.
Yeah.
So if you lock the mothers up, who out there working 16-hour shifts, mm-hmm. and the kids unsupervised, that's going to make the condition worse. You see? But that's what, you know, they create these conditions, and then our people who are not being critical thinkers and scientific, we call for this foolishness.
That's right. We always in a constant reaction mode.
Exactly.
You know.
We're not doing no critical thinking to see what's really driving this thing, you know. You know, so we're just reacting. Oh, yeah, call in the National Guard. Oh, lock the parents up. Lock them up. I'm saying charge the parents. I'm like, hold up now. Most of these households are headed by single mothers.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you lock the mothers up. Hey, we're gonna be in a worse off situation, you know. As I you know, when I was here, you know, I am in full agreement with you. With black folk, we ain't gonna solve our problem here, man.
Yeah.
We twist this way. It's like you're just trying to adjust yourself in a burning house. The house is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to get out of the house.
That's
and
right.
And look, these people, they're going to rumble now. These white folks, they're going to rumble. And I just want to recall what Garvey said. He said, when the elephants fight, the grass get trampled.
That's right.
That's all I got to say, brother. Right. I'll mute my phone and listen.
All right on, Brother Marcus. Appreciate you, man. That's right. All right. Brother Paul, how you doing, my friend?
Baba Ochi, can you hear me?
I sure can. Very well, my friend.
Good. Grand rising to you, and good afternoon to anybody listening. And fabulous, and wonderful, intelligent interjections from everybody, you know, Baba Ochi.
Yeah.
And it certainly sowed some seeds for growth. And, you know, so much to say, so little time. So let's just get to the point. You know, you're talking about global or climate change and Earth Day.
Right, Earth Day. Mm-hmm.
The things which cross my mind, like I'd like to put out in the ether, something Mother Earth says, that it's a fraud. I think it's a fraud too. I'm on the same page as Brother Irv. In actual fact, I don't think it's a fraud. I absolutely know it's a fraud.
Okay.
Because the reality of it, I mean, even the narrative, climate change, is just totally ludicrous. It's nonsense. I mean, you know, climate change. From the formation of the planet, it's been changing. I mean, what is this? Or am I on the wrong road? From the planet was formed, it's been changing. It's had to change to grow. Have I got that wrong?
No, that's true. But I think what has transpired in these last 50, 60, 70 years is climate extremes, where there were different patterns, and they've been charting things for quite some time. You know, they've been charting what's happening globally with terms of weather and other issues. So, you know, they know, you know, it's just like they have been able to chart the heavens to determine when there's going to be another, you know, solar eclipse or lunar eclipse or whatever.
But, Baba Ochi.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question based on what you've just said?
Sure.
Does the white man tell the truth?
No, he does not. No, he's a liar.
So where are you getting this information? Isn't it the white man you're getting this information from? Look, I'm just going to put it like this. The white man on this planet, he don't do anything or say anything unless it supports his interests. Have I got it wrong or what?
No, you got that right. Yeah, well, it's always for his benefit. It is always for
him. He doesn't do anything. There's not one thing he does on this planet unless it supports his interest.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't support his interest, he lies. That's what he does. He lies. Okay? So when he talks about climate change, he's lying. When he gives you statistics about, logically thinking, we talk about critical thinking, right? The time he's been measuring climate change is not even 0.01% of the period of the Earth. Do you think you could get any accurate readings from 0.01%? The Earth is over 20 million years old, and he's been recording it how long? For the last 100 years? Yeah. 150 years? Come on, man. I mean, that's just obvious. He is lying. The bottom line is change is inevitable. Extreme change is inevitable. The Bible, which is a book of fiction, but it talks everything about flooding, Noah's flood. If you go to the Mayan calendar, they talk about flooding. Even in Egypt, right? You go to this place they call Egypt, you can see signs around the tombs of flooding. In actual fact, a lot of those places, why you see the sand there? Because a lot of it was underwater. Come on, man. These extremes are just part of nature, and it's part of growth. That is what it is. And the reason why they are lying, because they want to commodify on it. They want to make money out of it. They're talking about carbon taxes. Carbon taxes, I mean, right, I'm glad you're laughing. That's how ridiculous these people are. And you see, they've got us so indoctrinated that we don't even think anymore. We don't even think. We talk about critical thinking, but critical thinking must start with questions. Yeah. You just ask basic questions. And if they don't make sense, you do your research. That means you do your due diligence. And if you don't get the answer in your due diligence, you go to the expert. 9 times out of 10, the experts don't even agree.
That's right.
So what does that tell you? Oh, man, come on, man. The experts themselves don't agree. You can go to one expert, and he says one thing. You go to the next, he says the polar opposite. So that means they don't know, okay?
Well, also, too, they go with whoever's funding them. So they can come up. So I'm the scientist, and who's funding me?
Absolutely.
These kids that believe this. So that's
right.
That's what I'm throwing out there. You know, that's what I'm putting out there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it's about for them and their ludicrous system. It's all about money. It's all about their, and that's how they keep themselves on top. But you know what, Baba Ochi? You see, I think you're going to agree with me here. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Mm. Am I wrong? All right.
No, you're right. Okay? I've heard that many times. Yes.
Yeah, of course we are, right? So therefore, you know, I listen to the scientist, Tyson, a fantastic man, a fantastic scientist. But I mean, I have to agree with everything they say. The reality of it is, spirituality means you're one with the universe. Your spirit, the spirit we talk about, is infinite. It has no beginning and it has no end. Everything in this world transforms. So this world we call the planet Earth is not even a grain of sand in the scheme of things. But we're not in touch anymore. You know how you get in touch with the universe? It's through the pineal gland.
Right.
It's the pineal gland. Okay? But we're not in touch anymore because we have been totally and absolutely indoctrinated by our adversaries. That's why we're talking a lot of nonsense all the while. And we really believe that this nonsense is truth. Nonsense. We have to Sankofa and go back to the
fetch
source.
It. That's right. Go back and fetch it. Go back to the source.
Right. Right. So that means we take on his indoctrination and then we find the truth. And then we find the truth by going back to the source. And that means going back to our concept of who we are. You know, look, we can look at the Dogons. They talk about serious beef. Two Frenchmen, white men, went and sat among them for 20 years. I know it's not going to be, no black man is going to go down there and sit among them for 20 years. Not even a couple of years. It's not going to happen. But they did that. You know why they did that, Baba Ochi? You know why these two white men went down there? Because they know who we are.
Yeah.
So they went down there and sat between these Dogons. And then they worked out, after a while, the Dogons revealed to them that the paintings on their skin were star systems. Okay? And they pointed out Sirius B to them.
Right.
At that time, these so-called scientists did not know about Sirius B.
No, you could not see it with the naked eye. But they knew that it was there intuitively because they had...
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Now, it's not a black man telling you this. It's a damn white man told you this. He told you that they knew about Sirius B. They said suspicions something was there because the star wobbled. They saw it wobbled. So they thought there's something influencing that star. Remember, a star is a sun. So the bottom line is, it's not until they develop machinery and they actually see it, they realize, but wait, how them people knew? How they knew that? How did they know that? Listen. We don't know who we are anymore. We don't know what we've done or where we've been or how we even got here. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But we did at one point, Baba Ochi, we knew these things because they have so indoctrinated us with their nonsense and bullcrap, their religions and their hocus pocus and fairy tales that we don't know. This is what we're constantly taught. They tell us about climate change and then we fall for it. Everything is in a state of change, always. We are in a state of change. The whole cosmos is in a state of change. The universe is expanding. They tell you that. It's expanding. So for it to expand, it must be changing. Okay? They just want to commodify on everything. They took us by chains in our feet and necks, human beings, and they try to commodify off of us. And that's why they sit in the high towers they're doing today. By that time, it must be over. We've got to get our minds back. We've got to free ourselves from mental slavery and get our righteous minds back. I say no more, Baba Ochi. Thank you very much for giving me the time.
All right, Paul. Appreciate you, brother. That's for sure. Yeah. We have some more time. Still got about 10 minutes. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. Still have some of you in the queue and you know what to do. Hit star twice and join the conversation. If not, hey, you're just here to listen. Here to listen and hopefully can learn a few things and utilize that on this Earth Day. Yeah. I guess when I read what I read many years ago and they said these things will happen if they don't change the way they're doing things. And lo and behold, these things began to happen because they didn't change the way they were doing things. Because why? They greedy. It's all about money. It's all about money. When Jimmy Carter became president, he put solar panels on the White House. He was trying to lead by example, saying we need to get away from oil to heat our homes and gas. You know, we need to use electricity. We need to use the sun for energy and so forth. So we need to get away from that. We need to stop burning fossil fuels. We need to do away with the with the gases that are released into the atmosphere, causing the greenhouse effect. We need to get away from these things because there's going to be problems down the road if we don't. And those things have materialized to some extent to this day. And so, when I played that piece with Neil deGrasse Tyson and Chuck having that conversation about, the bottom line is, and I don't know if you've ever seen this on, I can't remember if it was on the Learning Channel, National Geographic, whatever, The World Without Humans, The World Without People, showing that if there were no people, no human beings, nature would take over. Nature would envelop buildings. There'll be vines growing all over and breaking it down. Nature would take over. Foliage would be everywhere. And you've probably seen that in some larger cities where things have been neglected to such degree, and there's nobody cutting anything down and vines are growing up. It happens. It happens.
Brother Oshie.
Yes.
I just want to say something here in reference to say what you said about money, about greed. What's money? It's just a piece of paper. It's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So these people have created an artificial world.
Yes.
You see, it's all artificial, based on a piece of paper that these Kabibel, the Haribo, because that's who run the show, That's who run the economic order. It's the Haribo, our liberal friends, They are the ones, who set up this system, this world global system, because they control all global banking software.
Yeah.
You can't do no banking without going through them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't subscribe to them, then you will become public enemy number one. You see Iran, you see North Korea, you see these countries. I just talk about Zimbabwe now. You see Zimbabwe.
Right. Zimbabwe.
Pay their money.
Right. Zimbabwe. Yeah. I just seen that.
Yes, they peg there. So now, Zimbabwe is going to become public enemy number one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's the same thing that would happen when Muammar Gaddafi was president of the African Union, and he was going to introduce the gold coin, a golden naira, as the currency for a united Africa. And that's right away when United States, Britain, and France and so forth said, we got to get rid of him. First, they put that campaign out there that he was crazy and that he was a dictator, that he was doing all these things to his people. But, of course, we really know the history that the people of Libya loved Muammar Gaddafi because he used that wealth to enhance his people, to do positive things. If you were a couple, you got a place to stay. You have education. You didn't pay for gasoline, So it was always a benefit, but they wanted to make him in the image because they had to put that out there globally. People in Libya knew, but the people outside of that got what the United States and Britain was saying so they could go in and justify his murder. Tearing down the country and destabilizing it. Yeah.
And they use blackface to do it. They use Obama.
Yes.
You see? So,
exactly.
Anytime you see they put up a blackface like that in a high place, they getting ready to make a move
on
the colored world.
That's right, brother.
That's all I got to say. That's a little piece.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much. All right.
Baba.
Yeah.
Baba Oshie.
Yeah, go ahead, brother Irv.
It wasn't about killing Gaddafi. It was about killing the dream. It was about killing the movement. It was about killing
what Gaddafi was about. They mm-hmm. set up an atmosphere to where killing him would not cause an uproar, like the way they did Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
They made the environment around him. He's going against the Messiah,
right?
So he should be killed. And they did the same thing to Gaddafi. They're doing the same thing in Haiti. The mm-hmm. brother's barbecue. Oh, he's barbecuing people. No, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
They did the documentary. They did a documentary on him that tells he was an ex-police officer.
Mm.
This ain't a coup. And this is what people don't understand. It's not a coup. Chad is not a coup. Niger is not a coup. It's a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
The people are tired of with the foot on their neck. They're tired of being tired. And they're looking at this money with somebody's picture on it.
Yeah.
And it's worth nothing. They struggle every day in a country where they sleep on diamonds and gold and ore.
Yeah.
You got kids in mines. The Jew sells diamonds. He doesn't have a diamond mine.
Oh, no doubt.
You got kids. Come on, Baba Oshie, yeah. We've said these things before, but
mm-hmm.
what is happening is you see the posturing is changing. The United States is going more undercover, more covert. It's not overt.
Mm-hmm.
It's more covert because what's happening is the internet has turned the light on.
Right.
And, you know,
exactly.
When light comes on, the roaches scatter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. The internet, there's a lot of information out there. Now, understand this, family. You have to be able to sift through this and use a critical eye and critical thinking to discern
mm-hmm.
what is it really saying to you based upon what you know intuitively, you know. So, no, you're right about that, Brother Irv. There's a lot of information out there, you know.
And remember, Baba Oshie, real quick, I know we're out of time. But remember that anything that's easy to see is what you shouldn't be looking at.
Mm.
I don't see any Dr. Henry Clark books on the internet. You know, I see Oprah Winfrey's motivational book. I see Tyler Perry's life story. Mm-hmm. I don't see any Francis Press Walston books on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the food. Love that chicken for Popeyes. It's mm-hmm. only you get 35 pieces for a dollar. Do you think that's good for you? And I love chicken.
I do too,
I ain't gonna lie. I love chicken and ribs and samosa.
Yeah.
But what happens is anything that's good for you is not going to be readily accessible. And that comes with food and information.
Right.
I heard Brother Marcus on here, and he has such a keen sense of wisdom. I can hear the wisdom in when he speaks. And he's mm-hmm. absolutely right. You said it. What is power, Baba Oshie?
The ability.
When you can create...
The ability to define reality. Exactly.
And so
it's
you
not
make
money.
Us think that
it's not
you make
money.
Us think that that's correct.
Yeah.
So the piece of cloth that they give you, you make makes you think I got power because I got this big knot of money in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
No, this knot of money could be worth something today and worth nothing tomorrow.
That's right.
Whoever controls that controls the power. Marcus, Brother Marcus was right on point. Brother Paul was right on point today too.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to him,
yep.
But no, Baba Oshie, this show is amazing, man. You're right on point. I'm gonna listen. Oh, it's over,
it's
Baba
over.
Oshie, go ahead, do your thing.
It's over.
Do your thing.
All right, then, brother. Yes, it is. Thank you, Britt. Thank you, family, for listening, for joining in on the conversation. For those, brother Kwaku showed me something that happened with Brother Ayo's program. There were so many listeners, so many brothers and sisters listening. So you never can tell. It's not just the brothers and sisters that call all the time. And I appreciate y'all. Appreciate you brothers and sisters who do call in. And some just call in to listen, but some call in to give perspectives. And I appreciate that because it is. That's what the program is about, African perspective. So we want to get your perspective. But the bottom line is we're here to help put something on the minds of our people. I hear you. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Wednesday, family. Peace.
This is a great show, Bob Osh.
All right.